I guess over the last few days there's been two entirely different subjects that have been running through my mind quite constantly. One has been the subject of death, but the other, quite different, has been the subject of victory and success. I guess death was very much on my mind as I travelled to Mount Barker last Thursday to take the funeral of Terry Howes. But also victory. As I boldly proclaimed that day from the scriptures, victory over death for Terry. Not because of who he was, but because of God's great love for all mankind revealed in the sacrifice on the cross at Calvary and the fact that Terry had claimed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour. And you know, with that thought of ultimate victory over death, there was also came to mind this thought of success in this life. What is it to be successful in life? What is success in this life as God would calculate success? That's very different, isn't it, to the way we often calculate success. As Terry Howes walked with the Lord, and despite a lot of difficulties in these last 10 years or so, he was obviously seeking to live a successful life for Jesus in the strength that Jesus gave. Now, from the human viewpoint alone, most may not have seen Terry's life as particularly successful. But God sees things so differently, doesn't he? I was at the graveside. We've just completed the service, and I looked over and I was fascinated to see another grave some distance away with a big ornate grave tombstone on it, and on the top of the tombstone there were four bottles, stubby size. Two were beer and two were some other mixture, probably wine. And I thought, well, that's unusual, because you see they were still full and the caps were still on them. And I thought, well, that wouldn't happen in many cemeteries I know of, that they'd still be there. I also would have a look to see what they were about. And they'd been there for quite a while, because the label was just about to peel off and all the colour had gone out of it. And rather intrigued by this, I looked at the gravestone to see what it said. And there was the name of the gentleman, and underneath the name was the inscription, Winemaker Extraordinaire. And obviously, these people thought so much of his success as a winemaker that they decided to endow his tomb with bottles, not of wine necessarily, but at least of some drink to proclaim that. And I thought to myself, well, he was seen as successful. But you know, after death in eternity, the fact that he made good wine would no longer be a measure of success. Not in the sight of God. What God will be looking for is how much his life, and I don't know the guy, but any life, is linked with and empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that same idea of success for Jesus and through Jesus is also seen in the celebration today by Peter and Joan of 60 years of marriage. Now, to be married to the same person for 60 years, well done, Joan, is something that our society highly commends. Some see it as rather strange. Some see it as some sort of a miracle. Peter and Joan have received cards, a card from the Queen with a lovely photo, a card from the Governor General of Australia with a photo of him and his family. The Queen didn't give a photo of Philip, I noticed. And a letter from the Prime Minister. The other things you will see him outside is highly commended. But more important than how man sees things is how God sees things. And I believe he looks upon the marriage of Peter and Joan as a success, not because of its length, though that is long, or because it has always been smooth and prickle-free, because I tend to think it hasn't, but because they have both sought to live out their relationship with Jesus in their marriage, in their home, and in their family, and have done so by relying on his strength, his guidance, and at times, I'm sure, his correction. As a result of such thoughts this week, I began to think of what are the characteristics of a successful life according to God and according to his word. With that in mind, I'd like to turn you to turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And verses 9 to 14. Just a couple of verses there. Paul's writing this to this church at Colossae. He says this: "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Then comes the characteristics. "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way." That's the first characteristic. "Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." That's the second. "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father." And that's the third. "Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." Characteristics of a successful life according to God. And the first one is that you live a life worthy of the Lord that is fully pleasing to him. I wonder whether, if you're a believer here today, a Christian, whether that's your aim. Is that your priority in life? Is that what you are aiming for? Is that the success you're looking for? That you will live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is, what does it mean to you? What do you think it means for you to live a life which is worthy of the Lord? Now, we have those little bracelets, don't we? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And that's good. Whenever you come to a choice, you say, what would Jesus do here? And you seek to do that. That is part of it, isn't it? Part of living a life worthy of the Lord. But it's more than that too. As a child, I remember before I got sent out or before I went somewhere, might have been to stay with someone or to a party or something like that, Mum and Dad, particularly Mum, would turn to me and say, "Watch your behaviour. Remember, you are a whore." In other words, they were saying to me, look, your parents have built up a good reputation. Don't go out there and blow it. And sometimes we didn't. And I guess that's what Jesus is saying. Look, in a sense, he built up a reputation when he lived on his earth. He lived in a certain way, a way that pleased God. He's revealed a way of life to us. Is God empowered? Is God glorifying? Is God enabled? It's a life that reveals love for God first and love for others as its central feature. The successful life is a life like that. A life like the life Jesus lived. It's also a life, we are told, that is fully pleasing to Jesus. I wonder whether you can think of the last time you faced a choice between pleasing yourself or someone else or pleasing Jesus. You know those problems that come up? Well, you know what is the right thing to do, but you know if you do it, it might please Jesus that it's going to make you rather unpopular here at the moment. Which have you chosen? I've often talked to people who've been in the armed forces as Christians. Any of you who've ever been in the armed forces, and many of you have, Peter mentioned, been in the Air Force and others. You know, for a Christian in the armed forces, it's not particularly easy. you tend to get picked on there probably more than anywhere else, mainly because you can't get away from them. And you know that you've had to make that choice quite constantly. Do you please yourself, the easy way out, or do you please Jesus? To please Jesus is tough. Isn't it interesting that when they want to talk to someone, they may criticize you and have a go at you, but when they want to talk to someone about something that's really deep and needed, who do they come to talk to? You. Because they've seen that you've lived seeking to live a life worthy of Jesus, pleasing to him, and therefore you're someone that they can turn to and share with. So that's the first characteristic, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. The second characteristic of a successful life, you will notice there, is that it's a life that is bearing fruit in every good work and that is growing in the knowledge of God. What is fruit bearing? Well, surely it's the outward sign of God the Spirit living in me and working in my life. So we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And they are things that should be coming through us and growing in us as the Spirit works in our lives. Fruit bearing is the outward sign of God working by His Spirit in you. But there must also be the fruit, which is the influence of the gospel as portrayed in some way by us on the lives of others. The story of the cross, the story of salvation, however it's told, whether it's in words or actions, but in some way explain to someone that there is someone else there who loves them and cares for them and that they need. The story of the gospel, drawing someone a step closer to God, that's fruit too. But then there's also the fruit that happens as we sacrifice ourselves in some way, small or larger, because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Doing something which costs, because we belong to Jesus. Someone once wrote that sacrificing our lives for Jesus is like giving him a check for a huge amount. We say, Lord, I'm yours, here's my life. Bang, like a check. But the Lord doesn't take it all at once. Instead, he sends us to the bank and tells us to change that check into 50 cent pieces. And then we go through life putting out our 50 cents here or a dollar here or a dollar 50 there in the things we do. Like listening to the neighbour's kids' troubles instead of saying, get lost. It's going to a Bible study or a prayer meeting or perhaps a committee meeting because we feel we need to be there, where God wants us to be, and there we can serve him and encourage others. Well, no, really, we'd prefer to be at home in front of the TV. It's giving a cup of water to someone in a nursing home in Jesus' name. It's taking the time to tell some lonely person how much Jesus and we care for them. You know, usually giving our lives to Jesus Christ isn't a glorious thing, is it? It's not done like a martyr and everybody says, wow. It's done in all those little acts of love, 50 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. I think that writer was saying something special there. But notice that such fruit bearing is not alone. It includes growing in the knowledge of God. Knowledge which is gained through studying the Word of God. Spending quiet time talking with God and listening to Him. But also trusting God as you seek to minister in His name. You learn so much about God when you have to serve Him, when you have to walk out on that limb by faith, don't you? That's when you really start to learn about God. We put a lot of emphasis in the Baptist Church on studying the Word of God, and rightly so. But if that's all we do, if we just come on a Sunday morning and sit and endure it for an hour and then the Bible study during the week and that's it, then that knowledge is incomplete. Fruit bearing and knowledge gaining must go together according to the scripture. That's the characteristic of a life which is seeking to be successful in God's sight. The third characteristic of a successful life is found in verse 11. A life strengthened by God's power, having endurance, patience, and joy. In other words, you know, your life will be successful in God's eyes when you depend upon His power daily to work something special in you. When you say, as Paul did, I can do all things through Christ the Lord who strengthens me. It's so silly, you know. I see this in Christian work. We try so hard at times in our own strength when all the power of God is just a prayer away. It is said that Daniel from the Old Testament preferred to spend a night with hungry lions than miss a day of prayer. But the most glorious thing about that is that God told us to pray for His power. It's His power that makes us effective. It's His power that works great things in us. Came across this illustration. It's from an interview with Kevin Bacon, a movie star for those of you who don't know. In an interview, actor Kevin Bacon shared a conversation he had with his six-year-old son after his son had seen the movie Footloose for the first time. The boy said, Dad, that was really cool. How you jumped up on the roof and swung from the rafters. How did you do that? Well, son, I didn't actually do that part, said Bacon. A stuntman did. What's a stuntman? Asked his son. That's someone who dresses like me and does things that I can't do, things that are too dangerous. Oh well, said the boy. What about that part in the movie where you spin around on the gym bar and land on your feet, persisted the boy. How did you do that? Well, son, that was the stuntman again. Not me. He's really good at gymnastics. Oh, a long pause. Dad, just what did you do in the movie? And Bacon sheepishly replied, I got all the glory. And as I thought about that, I thought, that's the way God works through us, isn't it? You know, often I've been in a, particularly I think of counseling situations, and I've sat there and I've thought, you know, I've got no idea here. I'm absolutely perplexed and flummoxed by this one. And I've said, Lord, you've got to do something. And it's like the Lord just put in my mind something right at that time, or started something moving. And at the end, the person says, Jesus, that really helped me today. And I'm thinking to myself, I might be getting the glory, but it's not me. It's God who does it. That's the wonder. God given us His power by His Spirit to enable us to live for Him. And we need to use it more by coming to Him and praying more. And this power in us also gives us endurance. And that word endurance there means bearing up under great pressure. When life threatens to overwhelm you, it's the power of God that enables you to stay there. You've been there, haven't you? And you thought after, how on earth did I survive that? It's the power of God giving you endurance. And the other word there, it says, and gives us patience. Another word, entirely different word. That word patience means enabling us to take abuse, ill treatment from those who don't like us, don't agree with us, don't understand us, without blowing our tops. That type of patience only comes from the Lord, I can assure you. Characteristics of a successful life as seen by God. Living a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God. Depending upon His power, not our own. Producing endurance, patience, and of course that joy that comes as we know that we in Christ we have an inheritance. that lasts forever. But of course, these characteristics of a life seen by God as pleasing or successful can only belong to one who belongs to Jesus. That's the starting point, isn't it? Unless you know him, then you can't even begin. And that's why, as verse 13 puts it, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We have first got to know that we've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. To know that we have had that forgiveness of sins that we need because we've turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to be our Lord and our Saviour. You know, there have been many, many terrible, terrible stories coming out of this tragedy from Thursday. And the one that kept coming to my mind, I've heard it so often, is the story of those who were in those carriages underground where it all happened. And one person said, and many I think, said it went completely dark, the carriages filled with smoke, and all there was the smell of burning flesh. It was like hell. Then someone came, and they used the words, rescued us. They led us out of the darkness into the light. You know, that's a very sad illustration, but it is also an illustration of what Jesus came to do. That's bad, but what follows death and judgment is worse. The Lord Jesus has come to rescue us from darkness, to lead us into the light of the kingdom of God. You may not feel you need that light right now, but you just don't know what lies ahead of you. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he died upon the cross, Calvary. That's why he's going to come again one day, to rescue those who turn to him out of darkness into the light of the glory of his presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have shared together with Peter and Jonah, and we'll share a little bit more. We thank you for that. But we thank you especially that their lives, and they testified it to here today, have been enabled by the power of your Spirit. And we pray too, Lord, that we will have that enabling and seek it day by day, and that each one of us will know that we have indeed been rescued from darkness into the wonderful light of your presence. Lord, guide us, we pray, each day, as we seek to live for you and indeed to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.